welcome to the Turtle Tracks Podcast. This is your host, Brian Van Hooker, and I'm here with Dan Duncan, an artist for IDW Comics, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles run. You did the first 12 issues of the IDW Comics, and then a handful of other issues here and there. Dan, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, again, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here to talk about the Turtles.
Yeah, you know, I guess before... There's so many questions I want to ask you, because I, for those who didn't follow IDW Comics from the beginning, I mean, I did. I've got my, like, I got this literally the week it came out. So I made sure I got the Donnie cover. This is an audio podcast, so I should probably say issue one of what came out in 2011. But that run's been amazing from the start, and it started with your artwork along with Tom's writing. Before getting to that, though, I mean, what was your exposure to Turtles prior to that?
I mean, I was raised on the Ninja Turtles.
Were you?
Yeah, they came out right when I was like a kid, just old enough to do karate on all my brothers and be really excited about that. So like they kind of hit everything, and I was like, they got me into comics because I was into baseball as a kid and cartoons. But like the Ninja Turtles, when I found out that they were a comic, that got me into comics. So yeah, that was it, man. Like they were everywhere when I was a kid in the early 90s. Like you couldn't escape them. They had a musical tour. So,
oh yeah.
That was it, man. It was just like, I was, if they did it, I wanted to see it. I wanted to own it. I wanted to watch it.
Was the comics, like, which comics were they that you kind of connected to? Was it the Eastman and Laird stuff or the Turtles, Ninja Turtles Adventures ones?
It was the Eastman and Laird stuff, because some kid brought it to school, and it was just like, I don't know, it was like bringing a rated R movie to a second grade class, because it was just like, it was gritty, characters got hurt and they bled, and it was just like, it felt like something I wasn't supposed to have yet.
Sure.
Which only made it that much cooler. So when you were like, all right, well, the cartoon that I love is great, but the comic book side is like even cooler and more extreme and badass. I don't know. It was just like, there was something about those comics that just felt really cool. So the adventures was neat, but it was just more of the cartoon. So I felt like, it just didn't grab me in the same way.
You know, it's funny. I think like a lot of us had that same experience where we knew the Turtles from the cartoon, and then to discover later on that there was this whole other secret history thing. And like, I don't know, I found those comics when I got a little older too. So like, it kind of hit me at just the right time to kind of dive into that.
Yeah.
But it was I don't know. I feel like I can't imagine that being replicated by the media to come, because I don't think it's discovered in the same way.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, now everything happens so fast.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many ways to share what you're doing, that for something to surprise you is almost, it's almost impossible at this point.
Yeah. You know, fast forwarding ahead, so how did you end up on the Turtles book? How did that all come about?
That's kind of nuts. I went to the Kubert School, and through going to the Kubert School, I actually made a bunch of friends and connections, and one of them was able to actually connect me with Scott Lobdell, who was doing some work for hire stuff at IDW at the time, and he kind of was trying to help me break in and trying to help me find some work, and was working on a book called Music Box with Jennifer Love Hewitt, which was edited by Tom Waltz. And so they had somebody drop out, and I was able to do a fill-in issue of that, which was great. And then, so I was able to kind of meet Tom and develop a little bit of a relationship there. And then after a while, they were like, we're doing a licensing push. Do you want to kind of like test for any of these books? And they had like Ninja Turtles. I want to say like, maybe Duke Nukem or something. There was like some really cool projects, but like Ninja Turtles was a huge one. I think I did like 3 or 4 pages, a handful of pinups, just whatever I could get in front of them. And then, yeah, I eventually just got a call saying that they were going to offer me this series, and it was I don't know. It was crazy. It was very surreal.
You know, one thing I'm always curious about is like, so guys like you who, you know, grew up in the Turtles and you saw probably 15 plus different versions of it, depending upon like how much you got exposed to. I'm curious, like, how did you find your Turtles and develop your own look on it? Because I know your art very well. Like, I can identify it. So, I mean, like, I mean, what made you, how did you find your turtle? I guess is my question.
I mean, it just kind of evolved just from what you would see. Like the artist that I really liked, the amount of like time that I had to work on that book, where I was at the time, but it was just being inspired by a lot of that stuff. I remember, like in comics and stuff, there were, everybody always kind of would do some takes on the Turtles. The LaShawn Thomas stuff that Dreamwave did was actually really cool. I enjoyed that.
Oh
That
yeah,
was like, yeah, it was like blink and you miss it. But I really liked that. I liked his take on a lot of stuff. So yeah, I think it was just, I don't know, it just felt right. Like I just drew them the way I wanted to draw them. And especially at the time, because there were no, when they asked me to kind of submit for this, they're like, we just need a couple of pages to see that you can do sequential work and some pinups to show that you can do cover work. And we work with Nickelodeon. They were working with Nickelodeon at the time. So it was, but there was no restraint. It wasn't like, hey, match this animated series that we're doing, or, you know, we're working directly with Kevin, so try and come up with something that's reminiscent of his work. Or it's like just draw the Ninja Turtles. So I just kind of went nuts and did whatever I wanted. And when they approved that, I just didn't stop.
Yeah, I was just saying, because yours like are very distinct, and the book launches very much as its own thing. Like it was, it didn't feel like a continuation of anything we'd seen before. And I know Tom, I know he loves the 2003 series and some other influences there, but like, it very much felt like its own Turtles universe from the very start. And so much of that's your artwork.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was, I got to work off of, like, right off of Kevin's thumbnails, which definitely played into, like, how that all worked. I know that there were, like, some special editions where you got to see his, like, his entire thumbnail pass or his entire rough pass. And I would get those and just work directly off of those for the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 issues. So somewhere between like the work that I was always seeing coming from Kevin and the kind of stuff that I was doing on my own, I think we just kind of homogenized into something that we could do on a consistent basis.
Now, Kevin was doing the layouts, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were pretty comprehensive, man. Very thorough layouts, which was super awesome, especially like breaking in. And when you're nervous about jumping on a big project like this, and it was one of my first real jobs, I was terrified. So having like that much support coming from Eastman and knowing that all that stuff was approved by Nickelodeon. So it was great. And then, but they took them a long time because they were so thorough and they were so, so fleshed out. So when he started to kind of fall behind, I was able to, pick up the slack and start doing my own layouts and kind of earn the trust of Nickelodeon and the publisher at IDW until I think by the back end of that book, I was doing it from top to bottom on my own, which was really, really exciting. So it was cool to grow on it too.
What was Kevin like to work with?
I mean, awesome. He's just the nicest guy you'll ever meet. I don't know. I think that that's it. Like the first time we met in person was at a convention and I went to go shake his hand. He's like, nah, we got a hug. So he was a hugger. And anytime I've run into him, he remembers who I am. He's always just like really excited about everything. I mean, you know, he gets to work on the Turtles every day. It's his project and it's like such a big project for everybody. It's not to be excited about, but yeah, he's great.
What about Tom? What was it like working with Tom?
I mean, Tom was also great. Everybody is like Tom. And I think Bobby Cornell was my editor and he was the one I dealt with like day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. But everybody was just super supportive. Even like Nickelodeon it was like a big project for them. They just kind of purchased this. So they were like really protective over it. gave lots of notes as any licensing thing would do, but they were still like, hey, we have lots of notes, but great stuff. Like they were really excited about the book. They were really excited about the project. So it was great. It was a good experience.
Now, I'm curious about how much design work you did. So, I mean, you were the first person to draw Old Hob, right? But or was that some like did you design that with Tom, or did some of that happen with Kevin? How did all that stuff work with those with a new character like him?
No, I just designed it, and then that was it. He was in the book. I don't remember getting anything from anybody, and it was just like a 1920s boxer guy with the suspenders and the pants. Like it was a whole thing that I wanted. Like what I got from the script there was like a whole kind of vibe that I wanted to pull from that. And again, like I kind of didn't know how good I had it on the book because they were just really supportive. Like the new take on Krang,
Oh,
like
God,
doing
yeah.
passes on Shredder. Like I did lots of iterations, and there were notes and requests to change stuff, and like it was a process, but it was a process that I got to do. So like later on when I would see other artists, like it was a bummer to leave that book, but seeing the artist come on and working with like those designs was really exciting for me. I hope it wasn't frustrating for them now being stuck with a design that they didn't get to do their on their own, but it was really exciting for me to see all the different takes on it.
Speaking of Old Hob, I mean, I feel like he's the of all the new characters, and there's so many great new characters, but I feel like he's still my favorite new character for that series. Is there anything you want to say about developing that character or any influences, anything like that?
Honestly, it was really crazy at the time because like he was kind of fleshed out as the character in that book, and I was so new. I was really just happy to be there. So like I really loved the process, but that was one where I didn't get a lot of pushback. I liked the idea of him just being kind of scrappy, and yeah, I know. I mean, it was everything just kind of clicked into place. Yeah, it doesn't happen often, but it did here.
Now, what about Shredder? How did that Shredder take form? Like, did you have earlier takes that were different, approved, or whatever?
We did some takes. Like most of the Shredder stuff was like we did a pass where he was like really like pretty big and pretty beefy and pretty muscular. I always liked like something that was a little bit just like slimmer in his body type, and then everything else was just like what's been done and what kind of tweaks would I make, what did I like to draw, and then kind of just like always just trying to slide that in to Nickelodeon and then and like Tom and Bobby and just be like, who's gonna give me notes, what am I gonna have to change? And then when they would ask to change something, it was always just like, all right, well, how can I change this to make them happy while keeping myself happy too? And then by the end, I think we got to something that was like, it was pretty cool. And again, like seeing the other artists come on, like you could see how they would stick with it. And then like when Santoluco came on, he took some liberties, but still kept the majority of the design. So I was like, I was always really excited. I was like, if this guy likes it enough and isn't changing things, then I think I did okay. So yeah, he was one of my favorites on the series after I left.
Oh, he's so good, really.
Yeah.
Was there anything special you had to do with that you were trying to do with the armor or anything like that that stands out to you about Shredder? I mean, cloth mask was quite the change.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely changes, but I wasn't trying to necessarily get away from anything. I think if anything, it was like I wanted to do something that I could say was mine without like pulling it so far away that it wasn't the book anymore.
Sure. Anything to say about your splinter?
Like Splinter and I guess to a degree Shredder, like if there were things that I kind of like called back to, it would have been like that first movie.
Sure. That's my
Jumping
favorite
back to,
turtle.
yeah, it's like it's a very good film, and it was a good place to kind of it was always a good place to go first if you wanted to just kind of get like a jumping off point for reference. I know like I stuck, aside from Three Fingers and Two Toes and Turtle Heads, I know like the first pass on them was fairly grounded in their body styles. Like I didn't do anything, I didn't adjust their proportions too much. So going to the movies for the Turtles, kind of the same for Splinter and the same a little bit for Shredder is like you knew it could exist, so it was always like a good place to kind of stop and see like what they had done and then butts with it from there.
You mentioned Krang. I couldn't remember where Krang had debuted. So you got to the you designed General Krang? I'm forgetting. That design, I remember seeing that and being like blown away by it. Like it's so cool. Like Krang, I love the original cartoon, but Krang's design is this goofy thing. Where he's just this sort of in this giant baby looking creature. Like your take on Krang was so awesome. I'm curious where that came from because it's such an introduction when you do it.
I mean, a big thing that was going on at the time was like they were talking about General Krang, and I had just also started working with a bunch of people in animation on like Ultimate Spider-Man, but then like on the next floor above us, they were working on G.I. Joe with Clemens Sauvé, and he had like this like great design. He's great design sensibilities. He's like a real big inspiration for a lot of things. And I got to see people just like, oh, look at this. Like, oh, look at what Clem did today. Look at what Clem did. Look at what he turned in now. And so when it came to just like armor stuff, the G.I. Joe, I couldn't get the G.I. Joe stuff out of my head. So there was definitely a lot of that. But I just wanted to make it like sci-fi and tough and cool and militaristic. So, and again, just like I didn't want him to be dopey. I didn't. I love the cartoon. I love it to death. But like, I wanted him to be more menacing, more threatening. So.
Back when Peter Laird was still doing his blog, there was this very funny, like, faxes back and forth between him and I'm guessing it was Fred Wolf cartoons, but like Laird is like, "Hey, Krang is starting to look like a kind of this giant baby thing. Can we change it?" And then they just write back, "Nope, sorry, we're three episodes in, can't do." Like they just clearly got them out of the loop very quickly, and like this Krang design is this goofy. I love it, but it is this really goofy shit. So it was cool to see. It's really cool to see. Like, I mean, forgive me, I don't remember when everybody debuted. Were the neutrinos around, or they came after you?
In the book, they came, I think, just after me. I got to tease like a little bit of that stuff, I think maybe like a page or two, but I didn't get to really dig in, which is too bad because as much as I hate drawing cars, like they had the best car in the animated series at least, like they had it was awesome.
They did have the best car, and like that was like I love the like the like I mean, that's probably the best example because the neutrinos were just the worst fucking characters from that show, and they're like Tom made them cool as hell. Like, and I feel like there's a lot of like and Krang's a great example of that too. Like, we're just that goofy design is made like just such a badass character, and so quickly. Like I was like I immediately like. Nah, I'm on board for this Krang. This is really cool.
Good. Yeah, I mean that was it. That was the whole plan, and it was yeah, it was really exciting, and it was cool that people like pretty much everybody was like on board with it. And then they did a video game, and that design was in the video game, and like I lost my mind. It was the coolest thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, was that? I suck at video games, so I think I tried to play that and I could never get that far. But that's the one that also had Bebop and Rocksteady and stuff in it, right? Oh, I've never gotten that far in that game. I forget what it was called. Mutants in Manhattan, maybe? I forget. But
Don't remember either.
yeah, I remember thinking this game is so cool. I wish I could progress to the point where I see more things than just the beginning and then giving up.
That was the old Nintendo, like the just straight up Nintendo game. That game was, I don't think that game ends. I think it just gets so hard that you can't beat it.
Terrible. And like, and I was, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I was like a Game Genie kid, right?
Oh,
Because
nice, yeah.
I sucked and I would just wanted to know what's going on. And that game didn't have any really great codes, so I still would die in the fucking the water river part or the dam.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. I never so passed hard. That. It's never, there is no game past that. That it just ends there. Anything past that is just a myth. The one I was at was Mutants in Manhattan.
It is that one. Okay.
Yeah. And it has like a lot of like the turtles are very like Santiluco inspired, if not just outright. He did cover art for the box. But then like the Krang design showed up. I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest day of my life.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, who else did you get to design for that universe? I know Baxter, Casey Jones. Is there anything to say about Casey Jones?
Casey Jones was just cool. Like April and Casey, they just wanted to make them younger. I at this point, I've got so much space behind them. Like I would do a bunch of stuff differently. I think that's the fun thing too, is like I'm really proud of the time that I had on the book and everything. But if I could go back and do it again, like I would do it better, I guess. I'm technically more proficient now, but I think like a lot of things would change. Like I really liked working on Casey and April scenes. I think that they had a good storyline throughout that first year. They were just people in like jeans and t-shirts. Like I didn't want to over design them and give them costumes.
Sure.
But at the same time, they're just people in jeans and t-shirts. They could be anybody. So I was like, I always wish that I had done more, but the hockey mask was always super fun to draw, and just like because we could young them up or make them younger, it just gave you like latitude to make changes.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just fun.
One thing, I mean, one issue I wanted to point out was issue number 5, when we go back in time and see the reincarnation story. I don't know, was there anything? It's so weird because, like, you know, to see the turtles as the little human kids, I don't know, was there anything special that went to that or any little details you wanted to point out? Because that was another super memorable, cool thing.
I just wanted to make him like cute and likable, I guess. I don't know. It was cool, man. It was like it's the Batman scene. It's the Peter Parker scene. Like you talk about it. Like every time they come out with a Batman movie, we have to watch, you know, his parents die. Every time we come out with a Spider-Man movie, we got to watch Uncle Ben eat it. But when you have the opportunity to do it, like you can't not do that. Like you got to go for it. So it was like, I had watched the turtles become the turtles in so many different iterations of TV shows and movies, but to be able to do it on a book, that was another one of those just like, holy shit, I get to do this. Like, this is really exciting. But yeah, it was cool. And we got to introduce like the beginnings of Old Hob with that stuff. And yeah, it was fun, but mostly it was just trying to make them cute. I met my wife during that time, and if I got like a thumbs up that these things were adorable, then I was good.
What about in the ancient Japanese storyline where you got to draw the human turtles? I don't know what to call them, but like the reincarnated.
That was issue 6. Was that the Christmas issue? I don't know that I got to do that. I think that
You did all 12.
During issue 6, I did get some help from Santiluco, actually.
Oh, wait a minute. For real?
I think so. Yeah, we were in like a super big crunch, so it was an opportunity for us to kind of split a little bit of that issue and for me to get caught up and get a little bit ahead.
Oh, wait a minute. I mean, you would know. I'm just realizing this now. Because I thought Santiluco came later.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did, but like that was, I don't
yes,
know.
Yes, he drew Feudal Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, I apologize. Sorry.
No. Yeah. Like I said, he's.
And it's so clearly his work now that I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, that's him. I just, you know.
No, and he was great. He had such a passion. I think that we tested at the same time. So it was like every time there were like, I found something out, I'd be like, are you, how did I get this job if he was also an option? Like, that's insane. And then when they brought him on afterwards, I was like, this is it. Now I can read this book. Now I don't.
Are you able to read your own work in that? Like, is it just you tear it apart?
Yeah. Like, I think when you're drawing something, you're like, yeah, this is it. This is the best thing ever. And then you finish it and you're like, wow, look at this amazing thing I did. And then you look at it a half an hour later and you're like, this is terrible. I have to show this to people. What have I done? And then that book, especially like at the time, just super nervous. And I was like just starting to get my, I was just starting to get people to be interested in my work. I was starting to get work. So I had also gotten like some little freelance things from animation. And I was just like so grateful to be getting opportunities and so afraid of what would happen if I turned any of them down that I developed like a real bad case of freelancer's disease. And so I was just trying to do as much work as possible because I was afraid that at some point it was all just going to evaporate and go away. So that like seeing Mateus come on, it was like, well, this guy's in it. Like he's just super focused and his work was so good. I don't know. It's awesome.
Did you want to talk about leaving after issue 12, what that was like? And
It was a real bummer. I mean, like it was exciting because like I did a full year. That was always like a big goal. I wanted to work on a book for a length of time, to be able to like have that kind of impact on something. To be able to do Turtles from the beginning of like such a cool reboot, I think was just awesome. So I didn't think I could top it. And then at the time, it came down to just like practical reasons. Like the animation industry has a union that looks out for us, and like vacation time, I can take a vacation and I still get paid for that. Like medical benefits through the union, like all that stuff. And so it was like a just like if I'm gonna settle down and get married and do all of these things, like what's the responsible financial decision? And the work in animation was really cool. I get to work with like people in a studio setting, like very close. Whereas in comics, you kind of are always just emailing back and forth.
Sure.
They don't really have like bullpens like they did at Marvel in the old days. So getting that sort of just being in that environment was appealing. So
Was there any surprising adjustments going from comics to animation?
With comics you get to like do it all yourself. You get like top billing for a bunch of stuff. And then you can kind of craft the book to in a way that suits your style, like what you choose to how you choose to lay out your panels, how you choose to lay out your characters. You can do it in a way that's very forgiving to the things that you know how to draw well. You can put on like lots of dark shadows if you don't know how to draw certain things because now it's gone. Or it's like I know how to draw the shoulders and stuff from very specific angles, so I'm gonna favor those angles most of the time. But then in animation, it's all just line drawings. There's no rendering. There's no nothing. So, and the characters have to move around a bunch. And so you just have to learn how to draw from every angle. So that was like the biggest thing was I got into animation full time thinking like, wow, I've just had this comic. I'm successful now. Like I've done things like I'm good. And then like right away it was like I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to draw. Like I have to learn how to draw all over again. And so then it was just like kind of going back and forth. And when I went back to do Turtles in Time stuff, it was really, really fun. It was super rewarding. But the work does look a lot different than it did. Or like the Oh, we did like the micro issue of Shredder. That was like another one where it was like the work was starting to change because of the things that I was learning in animation.
Is there any highlights you wanted to point out? Because so you've come back a handful of little times to do things here and there. Is there anything you wanted to point out about any of those experiences that stand out to you?
No, man, the Shredder thing was really cool. I think that one was fun because I did like a real rough kind of outline of that first script. Like this is what it could be. This is what I had in my head, and it didn't line up with like anything that IDW had planned. And they already had like I think Paul Aller wrote it, But they already had a writer lined up, so like they were already, they didn't need me to do any writing, but it was still fun to flex those muscles, and Bobby was like really cool about feedback and really supportive. And then when Sanluco came back and did Shredder in Hell, like just I think through like osmosis or whatever by being a Turtles thing, he covered a lot of the same kind of shenanigans. Like he did a lot of the things that I wanted to see. So it was like really cathartic to watch that and to be a part of that. And yeah, just the micro issues that they did was always such a cool way to like explore the property and to bring in new artists and to see like new artwork. So it was super fun to see them doing that, and then to be a part of it was really exciting. Yeah, I mean, it was just fun. I don't know. I'm just kind of gushing now because I have this is you've given me an opportunity.
No, please. That's half what this is about. And I mean, we can't go into the details, but we do know that for the upcoming issue number 150, I'll make sure I post this one before that. You're going to be returning in some capacity. I mean, we can't talk about what it's going to be, but like, I don't know, what was it like returning, especially at such a milestone?
I mean, surprising. Right now, I'm working on Invincible, the series for Amazon, and it's like it's a big show. It's a lot of work, and so I kind of just hunkered down and was just doing that. And then, kind of out of the blue, I got an email from the guys at IDW. Just it's like, this is what we're doing, and like, do you have any interest? And so it had been, I don't know, 8 months to a year since I had been able to like sit down and read Turtles and read most comic books. So I was like, holy cow, what is happening? This
Yeah,
is
a
really
lot happened.
exciting. Like, it's like a lot is going on.
Yeah.
And it was just like, hell yeah. So from that point, it was just kind of negotiating like what could I do? They didn't need me to do like a full issue, which was great. But I was like, I could do maybe a couple of pages and a cover. And they're like, great. And so that was it, man. It was like everything with them and this project, it was pretty easy.
I was very excited to hear that you were coming back for it. And I love that cover. We saw that Donnie. We've seen the Donnie cover
Yeah.
that, which I absolutely love. So.
Yeah, no, it was fun. And it was like we had agreed. I had agreed. I was like, yeah, I'll do a couple of pages. But it was like a Friday. And then, or a Thursday or something like that. And then the next day, the cover came out, and the news that I was going to be doing some pages on it came out. And so like Robert Kirkman was like, I want to see those pages. It's like, I haven't even done them yet. I haven't seen the script yet. So it was like, and it was like, how did you hear about this? Because he's my boss. And so it's just like, do you have spies? But it was just like it was on the news and it kind of went everywhere. So it was, yeah, it's you take a lot of time away from this project, you kind of forget how big it is and how passionate the fan base is. But
Oh yeah.
it's huge, and the fans are awesome. So
I mean, it's been such a great run. I mean, I'm going to be talking to Sophie and Tom at some point in the near future. But I mean, like it's just been like and you know the you know the, there's going to be a not relaunch, but you know a new chapter starting soon enough. But like it's just been an incredible run for this whole
Yeah.
series. And with two writers, and you know what I mean? Like, it's just incredible, like, what has been done over that time.
Yeah. I agree. You are correct. It's really impressive that, Tom went for 100 issues and then Sophie came on and has done the back 50. Like that's really impressive in and of itself. And the stable of artists that have kind of come through, there's just really intimidating, and it's pretty righteous.
Are there any other highlights from your run that you want to point out or other favorites? I'm curious. Get designed
No.
Rye, which is pretty cool, I think, right? You designed that?
Yeah, I mean, all the design stuff was really cool. The ninjas especially was like a lot of
Oh
fun.
yeah. What is there any inspiration there where you like was it another movie thing? I think that's probably the closest, right?
Yeah, I don't know where a lot of that stuff, where I was looking when I was working on that stuff came out. But yeah, it's another one where it was like, like working with Sophie and talking to the guys, and it's like Is there anything that I can take a look at in those first 12 issues that you can call back to? Is there, every artist loves to sneak Easter eggs in when they can. And
Sure.
it's just like you look through it and you're like, all right, well, I've got a decade away from this book now, so I don't even remember drawing like a lot of these pages. So I get to look at it fresh again, which is nice. I can be both like more forgiving and sometimes meaner than I was 10 years ago. But there's a ton of stuff I'm like, man, if I could, I would redraw a lot of these pages. It'd be really cool to do all of these over again.
My last question for you, and I ask this of everybody, who's your favorite turtle and why?
I like Donatello because he's smart. I don't know, like just objectively, he's very smart. He builds all the things that they need. Feel like he can just get shit done. And as a kid, it was easy to unscrew the broom handles, and then I was Donatello, and I could
Course,
swing
yeah.
that thing all over the house. I still to this day look for brooms where you can unscrew the handle. Can't help it. Old habits.
I'm all set here, man. Thanks so much for your time. This is really
Yeah.
great to talk to you, and
No
I'm
problem, man.
excited
Thank you. It
for
was
you.
really good meeting you, too.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, take it easy, bro. Have a
You
good
too.
one.
Take care.
Bye.